In God's house. I give you a little bit of a background. There was a time that I thought that I could do everything on my own. I could do whatever I wanted to do, and it was the most miserable years of my life. But I thank God that God, in His love and His mercy, allowed me to come back, and I'm able to serve Him today, and it's only by God's grace. And I thank Him for it. There's nothing I've ever done that's worthy of anything, but my God's been good to me. If you will, we're going to go ahead and we're turning your Bibles. We'll be in 1 Kings chapter 21. And it won't be long today. I want to be mindful of time and other preachers. Give everyone a good opportunity to preach the word. We're going to be in 1 Kings chapter 21, and we'll begin in verse 1. Very familiar passage of Scripture. But I believe the Lord can use this to help us today. Amen. 1 Kings chapter 21, verse 1 says, "And it came to pass that after these things that Naboth, the Jezreelite, had a vineyard which was in Jezreel, hard by the place of Ahab, king of Samaria. And Ahab spake unto Naboth, saying, Give me thy vineyard, that I may have it for a garden of herbs, because it is near unto my house. And I will give it, and I will give thee for it a better vineyard than it. Or if it seem good to thee, I will give thee the worth of it in money. And Naboth said to Ahab, The Lord forbid it me, that I should give the inheritance of my fathers unto thee. And Ahab said, And Ahab came unto his house heavy and displeased, because the word of Naboth the Jezreelite had spoken unto him. And he said, I will not give thee the inheritance of my fathers. And he laid him down upon his head, or upon his bed, and turned away his face, and would eat no bread. But Jezebel his wife came to him and said unto him, Why is thy spirit so sad that thou eatest no bread? And he said unto her, Because I spake unto Naboth the Jezreelite. And he said unto him, Give me thy vineyard for money, or else, if it please thee, I'll give thee another vineyard for it. And he answered, I will not give thee my vineyard. He's just throwing a fit. And Jezebel his wife said unto him, Doest thou now govern the kingdom of Israel? Arise, eat bread, let thine heart be merry, for I'll give thee the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite. So she wrote letters unto Ahab's name, and sealed them with his seal, and sent the letters unto the elders and to the nobles that were in the city dwelling in with Naboth. And she wrote in the letters, saying, Proclaim a fast, and set Naboth on high among the people, and set two men, sons of Belial, before him to bear witness against him, saying, Thou didst blaspheme God and the king, then carry him out and stone him that he may die. And the men of the city, even the elders and the nobles who were the inhabitants of the city, did as Jezebel had sent unto them. And as it was written in the letters which she had sent unto them. And they proclaimed a fast, and set Naboth on high among the people. And there came two men, children of Belial, and set before him. And the men of Belial witnessed against him, even against Naboth, in the presence of the people, saying, Naboth did blaspheme God and the king. Then they carried him forth out of the city and stoned him with the stone that he died. Lord, we just want to thank you for this opportunity to be in your house. Lord, we want to take this time, Lord, to give your people, Lord, what you've given me, Lord. And Lord, I pray, Lord, to be a help to them, Lord, that we continue, Lord, to contend in the faith, Lord. That God, Lord, there would be a soul here lost, Lord, you'd save them, Lord. Lord, above all else, Lord, I pray, Lord, that you'd receive all glory, praise, and honor, Lord. In your precious and holy name I do pray, the name of Jesus, amen. Amen. What I want to look at just for the short time is God forbid that we sell out. God forbid that we sell out. We see here in verse 3, it says, Naboth said unto Ahab, forbid it me that I should give thee the inheritance of my father. And one of the things that we see in this passage of Scripture, when you look at this, if you were just to skim the surface of it, you would think, well, why did Naboth just simply refuse? He could have got something much better. He could have got a more vineyards. He could have got a better vineyard, Ahab said. But yet, that was not the case. Ahab didn't want this vineyard for the right reason. What did Ahab want this vineyard for? He wanted it for a garden of herbs. He didn't want it for a vineyard. And dear friend, can I say to you the day that this world wants our inheritance, but it's not ours to give? They want what is God's. They want to pervert what God has given us. When you look just recently, you can see that they perverted things such as marriage. They perverted things such as God's covenant to us that he would never flood the earth again. When I was a police officer, one of the things they had, and I hated it, was that every year they would have us dress our vehicles, our police vehicles, in a rainbow-colored flag, and they would parade around like it was the greatest thing and that they had pride, and that pride is the same thing that destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. But they want to pervert the very thing that God has ordained in this world. Yeah. And they want to destroy the family. They want to destroy marriage. And that's exactly what they're trying to do. They want our inheritance. And if we're not careful to guard our inheritance, if we're not careful to guard what God has given us, what's going to happen to our future generations? I got some babies back there. I got three babies the Lord's given me, and I got one that's Russian with us. And can I tell you, the one that's Russian, he's not had any type of structure. He doesn't know who the Lord is. He doesn't have a love for God like my children have been taught and raised, but that because there's someone along the way who sold out to God, who didn't give the gospel to him. And because they didn't give the gospel to this young child doesn't know God. And dear friend, if you sell out to God, that's exactly what's going to happen to this next generation. The wicked king had a wicked request. Our enemy has won our inheritance. He was a wicked idolater. You look back just a few chapters, what happened? What was going on in Israel during this time? It was a time of wickedness, adultery. They were worshiping Baal rather than God. But we see here that Naboth had said in his heart, we don't know much about Naboth. In fact, really all we know is what verse 3 tells us, is that and Naboth said to Ahab, the Lord forbid it me that I should give the inheritance of my father unto thee. We don't really know much more about Naboth. But yet, Naboth, when you start thinking about what God did, he was a man that stood on God's principles. He wasn't willing to sell out to God or sell out to this world. He could have been given anything. He could have been given wealth, great riches. But he had a determination in his heart to stand for God. Amen. And do we have that same determination to stand for God today? We need to stand. We need to take a stand. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 20 says, "For you are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your bodies and in your spirit, which are God's."
That's right.
You know what? This inheritance ain't mine. It's not mine to give. It's God's. I'm not my own. I can't give myself. Once I belong to him, I am not of my own. I've been bought with a price. And yet, we have too many people who are selling out. There's a church not too far from us down south. And it stood for the gospel, stood for God, stood for this King James Bible. But along the way, they had a preacher come in and sheep's clothing, but it was a ravaging wool. And dear friend, as soon as he got in there, he started preaching, and he started using the King James Bible at first, but then little by little, now they're using the NIV. Now they got smoke machines. Now they got a drum set in their church, and they sold out. They sold out. And we have too many people who are selling out. Too many people. When you look, I preached a message not that long ago, and it's still burdened on my heart. One in hell and five on the way. When you look at the rich man who was in hell, he was praying for his five brothers. And why should we not ever sell out? Because there's people in hell still praying that someone would send us to their five brothers. And I know God's not going to listen to the prayers of those in hell, but can I say there's people in heaven that are praying? There's people in heaven that are praying, God send them. Are they praying for us to go? Naboth wasn't willing to give up on his convictions.
Yeah, right.
There was 7,000 men who God reserved that will continue to worship him. And I believe through every age, God is going to have a set people who are not going to bow before this world. They're not going to bow before everything that this world has to offer. They're going to stand true to God. But can I say that if we entangle ourselves with this world, if we let the world creep in, if we let this American dream creep in, we are going to sell out. You know, this world, they can offer you anything they want. They can say that I'll give you this for that. And one of the things I did in my life is I sold out for a while. I sold out. God wanted to use me in the ministry, but I wanted to be police officer. That's what I wanted to do. And I thank God for the opportunity that I had. But can I say to you that I was in disobedience unto God? And I think to myself, when Brother Chris says, I wonder how many people died and went to hell in Nineveh, while Jonah was on the run from God, I think to myself, how many people died and went to hell when I was on the run? I did what I wanted to do. I sold out. Yeah. But can I say that from someone that sold out and God's able to use me again? Can I say it's not worth it? It's not worth selling out? Can I say that it's much better to stand on what God has said? What does saith the Lord? Can I say that is worth it? I heard my daughter as we were on the way to church singing how good God's been to her. Can I tell you that's worth it? That's worth it. To hear your child say that Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Can I tell you that's worth it? It's not worth it to sell out. They were given a command not to sell the land. In Leviticus chapter 25, verse 23, it says, "The land shall not be sold forever, for the land is mine. For ye are strangers and sojourners with me." Naboth knew this. He knew it wasn't his to give. He knew it was his father's inheritance. And can I say that we have our forefathers in the faith. It's not our inheritance to give to the hogs, to the swine. We're not to give that which is holy unto the swines that they can trample them out. No, dear friend, our inheritance is to be given to our children so that they can continue on. And if we don't continue to give it to our children, what are we going to end in? We're going to end up in apostasy. And that's exactly where we're at. I love Kentucky. Whenever I was a child, my grandpa took me there all the time. And it was a wonderful thing. It was a special time for us. And I love going to church down there. But what I've noticed is since I moved there, how I thought people were and not how they are. And I found out very quickly that a Baptist is not just a Baptist. There is a bajillion types of different Baptists. And just because you say you're Baptist doesn't mean you believe what I believe. You don't have the same God that I have. And can I say to you, friend, there's a lot of apostasy down there. They call it the Bible Belt, but I call it the apostasy belt because there's so many people on there that they proclaim that they know the truth, but they stand and they lie and they've sold out. They completely sold out. Lord, forbid it me. Can we say to ourselves today, Lord, forbid it me that we would ever be willing to sell out? You go back just a few chapters. 1 Kings 18, verse 20 and 21. Just real quickly. I'm trying to be quick. 20:21, so it says, chapter 18, verse 20. So Ahab said unto all the children of Israel, and gathered the prophets together unto Mount Carmel. And Elijah came unto all the people and said, how long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. And dear friend, there's too many people in our churches today that they're between themselves. They don't know who to follow. They come in on Sunday and they follow God, but then Monday through Sunday they're following Baal. And can I say to you today that we need to take a stand for God? There's not enough people taking a stand.
That's right.
1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58 says, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." Thank God our labor is not in vain. Preachers, have you ever preached? Have you ever been preaching and preaching and preaching? And you know that's exactly what God's laid on your heart and no one moves? It breaks your heart. Because you know God is trying to do something.
Yeah.
But that person's not willing to move, not willing to surrender to the Lord. It gets discouraging.
Yeah.
It gets absolutely discouraging. And my heart's been broken for this young boy that we have with us because we've been sharing the gospel with them. And we know our time is short with them. Dear friend, our time with the people here on this earth is short. We're getting ready to go. We're getting ready to get out of here. It ain't going to be much longer. But can I say to you, my heart's broken. Because the seeds that I've seen planted, I don't see any increase. And I know God is the one that gives the increase. But in myself, in my human nature, I want to see God do something.
Yeah.
I want to see God move.
Amen.
But dear friend, can I say to you, our labor is not in vain in the Lord.
Yeah.
God gives the increase.
Yeah.
And I trust in Him. And I know that He's going to do what He's planned on doing. I know God is going to continue to convict hearts. I got many lost family. Many lost. But I know God can do something.
Yeah.
I know God will do something. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Much. Mm-hmm. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 13 through 17 says, Wherefore take ye unto your whole, and take you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand the evil day, having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with the truth, and having the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which are the word of God. And which is the word of God. Can I say to you today, we're ever going to take a stand for God, we got to put on the armor of God. We can't stand in of ourselves. I can't stand in this flesh. I can't stand against all the wiles of the devil in my own self. I've tried and I failed. I've tried and I've failed many a times, but can I say, when we stand in the Lord, those things ain't going to matter. Those things ain't going to be able to overcome you because it's not you that's being protected by yourself. It's God's protecting you. His wings are around you. Can I say to you today that we see too many people selling out? But we need to have a stand. And can I say, when you take a stand for God, it's going to cost you something. It's going to cost you something. We see here that Naboth, when he took a stand for the people, when he took a stand for God, he was taken before the people. And these are his neighbors. These are people he knew. And he's being accused that he's blaspheming God and he's blaspheming the king. And oh, how what humiliation he had to feel. To know that it's not real. To know that I never did what they are accusing me of. But nonetheless, to be mocked and spit upon and ultimately killed. Are we willing to pay the price for our stand? We're not in one of the countries where we're being persecuted to the point where we have to meet underground because if we don't, they're going to execute us. I believe that one day it's going to get there. I believe it's coming. But can I say that there's a price worth standing? You take a stand for God, you're going to have some people distance themselves from you. You're going to have some people separate from you. Taking a stand for God. I've seen my family. I've not pushed my family away, but they push themselves away from me. But is it worth it? Is it worth the stand that you're going to take? And Naboth, it took, took absolutely everything from him to stand. Are we willing to take a stand for God? No matter what the cost, are we willing to take a stand for God? God forbid that I should sell my inheritance. God forbid. God help us not to sell out. If we sell out now, if we sell out when things are good, when we sell out when God has been so good to us, what are we going to do when persecution comes? What are we going to do when the hard times come and we don't have the ability to meet together and to fellowship with one another? People forsake God all the time. They forsake the church. This is where I get my help. This is where I get my strength. I love coming here. I come and I go and I visit with family, and sometimes it doesn't feel like I'm visiting family. But I come here and I'm at home. I'm at home because you may not be physical blood, but can I say to you, you're spiritual blood. I know that you're my brothers and sisters in Christ, and I may not know you from Adam, but we have something in common. It's the blood of Jesus Christ. And can I say to you today, that's the only thing that matters? That's the thing that I want to stand upon. That's what I want to build my family upon, is on this word and everything that's said upon it. Can I say to you today that it's worth standing for?
That's right.
God forbid that we should sell our inheritance.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Brother.
Amen.
That's good. That's good preaching.
Amen.